This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا عاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we are on page 83 of the Quran, which is in the 5th juz, Surah An-Nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the previous episode we mentioned the verses that spoke about a number of issues concerning marriage, and some of the, and in the previous episode before that as well, concerning marriage, concerning certain relations that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made haram for us to marry. Those people are our maharim, and a mahram is someone therefore that you are prohibited to or prohibited from marrying. And we mentioned a number of other commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed concerning marriage, in terms of a person who doesn't have the ability to marry a free woman, and certain rulings and certain guidances concerning those people. Today we continue from verse number 26, which is actually the last verse on the previous page, but because it's connected to the first couple of verses on this particular page, we kind of left it all together. And that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 26. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
يريد الله ليبين لكم ويهديكم سنن الذين من قبلكم ويتوب عليكم والله عليم حكيم.
He wishes to make his laws clear to you and guide you to the righteous ways of those who went before you. He wishes to turn towards you in mercy. He is all-knowing, all-wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, after mentioning those commandments that we spoke about in the past couple of verses, past couple of episodes, and even before that, the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal from the beginning of Surah An-Nisa concerning marriage, concerning certain aspects of inheritance, all of these different things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us concerning these issues, as we said, in which people were often oppressed, especially in the time before Islam, and even unfortunately in the time that we live in today. And the other instructions and guidances that Allah Azza wa Jal gave concerning, for example, the wealth of the poor and the wealth of the orphan, and the rights that people have in terms of what Allah Azza wa Jal has given to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He wishes to make His laws clear to you. And that is from the greatest mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to us that everything that you need, from halal and haram, from what is truth, from what is falsehood, from what is good and what is evil, from that in which there is benefit to as opposed to that in which there is harm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear for you. And Allah Azza wa Jalla clarifies this as a mercy from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, because had Allah willed, He could have commanded us to worship Him and left us with very little guidance in terms of the how, in terms of the ways and manners in which we can seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal, no one obligated upon Him that He had to give to us revelation or guidance. Allah Azza wa Jal does all of this Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala as and from His mercy. And so therefore it is from the greatest mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Azza wa Jal makes things clear for us, so that every single person has clarity. Everyone knows what Allah has obligated, and everyone knows what Allah has prohibited. Everyone knows the difference between the halal and the haram. And so therefore that makes it easier for a person in terms of navigating their life, navigating through this dunya and through their life, and finding that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And clearly, this is for those people who wish to and want to please Allah Azza wa Jal. Those people who don't wish to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't care about worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. For them, irrespective of what Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed, they would ignore it regardless. But those people who are sincere, who want to please Allah, who want to worship Allah, who want to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will search out and look for those things that Allah Azza wa Jal has placed for them in terms of guidance. So for example, in these issues that we've mentioned, like marriage, marriage is an issue where people often oppress one another, often make mistakes in terms of the way that they conduct their marriage, in terms of the way that the two spouses live with one another, in terms of some of the other issues that may go on, in terms of rights and fulfilling those rights and taking and receiving some of those rights. There is much sometimes oppression that takes place. And so therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear, you know what your rights are and you know the rights of others upon you. You know what is halal and permissible in your marriage and you know what is haram and prohibited in terms of your marriage. وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ سُنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. And Allah says that through this He guides you to the righteous ways of those who came before you, meaning all of the prophets and messengers that Allah Azza wa Jal sent, عَلَيْهِمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, and their righteous followers. Allah Azza wa Jal guides you to their ways as well, to their correct actions, to the way that they worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those affairs that Allah Azza wa Jal then also legislated for us in our Sharia, in the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These are from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is so that we know that these major aspects of our religion, because there may be differences between one prophet to another in terms of the minutiae, but the major aspects of Islam and the religion are something which have been continuous and consistent from the time of the earliest prophets to the time of our last prophet and messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us therefore that this is the way of the prophets, this is the sunan of the prophets, and that's why Allah azza wa jalla often in the Quran tells us the stories of those prophets. Those stories are there so that we can know and understand. Also from the benefits is that we can know and understand that we are upon the path of the prophets. So for example, marriage. You will find often in the books of fiqh, for example, the scholars say at the beginning of the book of marriage or the rulings of marriage, وَهُوَ مِنْ سُنَنِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. It is from the practice of the prophets, because the vast majority of the prophets of Allah عَلَيْهِمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ got married. They chose to get married. And so therefore that is something which is a practice not only of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which by the way, even if he was the only one who did it, that would have been sufficient, as the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sharia and his example is the one that is incumbent upon us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that throughout the Quran, all of the prophets, or many of the prophets, were married. Many of the stories in the Quran, you look at the story of Adam, look at the story of Nuh, look at the story of Ibrahim, look at the story of Ismail, look at the story of Ishaq and Yaqub, look at the stories of Zakaria, look at the stories of Sulaiman and Dawood. All of these messengers of Allah and prophets of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, you find that they are married. And that is mentioned explicitly or implicitly, either in the Quran or in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَيَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. And Allah says, and He wishes you to repent to Him. He wishes to turn towards you in mercy. He wishes to shower His repentance upon you. And so when you follow the halal and you stay away from the haram, that is from the greatest means of ensuring Allah's mercy. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal is all-knowing, all-wise. In verse 27, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. He wishes to turn towards you, but those who follow their lusts want you to go far astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, He tells us there are two forces that are pulling us, two directions in which the believer or the Muslim is being pulled. The first direction is the pull that is coming, or the incentives that are being given and the motivations that are being given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us that this is the path to guidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that if we take that path of guidance, if we go upon that path that He has left for us and highlighted for us, pointed out to us, then that is the path that will lead to His mercy, His forgiveness and His repentance subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the first way. The second way are those people and those other things, those other forces that are coming to pull us away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here, وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah gave to you guidance. Allah showed you the way of the prophets before, so that Allah may give you His repentance. And Allah wants to repent upon you. Allah wants you to turn towards His mercy. Allah wants to forgive you for your sins. But me and you must first take the step that is needed in order for that mercy and forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal to come to us and to reach us. And that is the first step in terms of making tawbah to Allah. The first step in terms of worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. The first step in terms of turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must make the initial action. We must have the sincere intention in our hearts. We must have the firm conviction. We are the ones who must raise our hands in dua. We are the ones who must utter the words of tawbah and forgiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower his repentance upon us. But there are those other groups, those other people, those other creations from the humans and from the jinn. وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ But those who follow their desires and their lusts, and تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا They want for you to go astray. They want you to follow their paths, to turn away from Allah Azza wa Jal, to follow the path of shaitan instead. And so what they will do is they will tempt you with everything else. They will tempt you with the dunya, with wealth, and with family, and with the dunya, and its comforts, and its adornments, and all of its luxuries, and they will try to divert you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells you that there are two ways, two choices that you have. And this is a common theme that is repeated in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. In numerous places in the Quran, we are told that there are only two ways. There will only be two groups. There are only two destinations, ultimate abodes in the next life. There are no middle ground. There is no middle ground in the sense that you can say, no, I won't go completely this way, nor that way. I will stay neutral. There is no such thing as neutral, because either you are worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal or you are not. Either you are doing the halal or you are not. Either you are staying away from the haram or you are not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in the following verse, verse number 28, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا Allah wishes to lighten your burden. Indeed, man was created weak. From the ways that Allah Azza wa Jal wishes to lighten our burden from His mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah Azza wa Jal gives us time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affords us opportunities that when we sin and we make mistakes, Allah is patient, Allah is forbearing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waits to see whether we will turn to Him in repentance, and Allah knows ultimately what we will do. But Allah azza wa jalla gives us the chance. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to punish us immediately for every single time we sin and every sin we commit, then all of us would be destroyed. No one would survive. Because human nature is that we sin and we sin and we sin, and we don't necessarily immediately make forgiveness to, or seek forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal. Sometimes a person may sin for years and decades before that ultimate moment of turning to Allah Azza wa Jal and making tawbah. That is from the ways that Allah Azza wa Jal has made things light and easy for us. And from the ways that Allah Azza wa Jal has lifted that burden from us is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept by a single act of repentance the repentance and forgiveness for many years of sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, if after 10 years now you want to start practicing, you realize that you want to change your life, you want to come closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, so you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't say to you subhanahu wa ta'ala that you must individually, for every sin that you committed in those past 10 years, you must make an individual act of tawbah, an individual act of seeking forgiveness, because that would be something too difficult. Most of us wouldn't even remember the majority of the sins that we've committed. We wouldn't even know where to start, and that would cause us to become despondent and to despair, and more likely just to continue upon our old ways. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jal says, make a single act of tawbah. And Allah knows what you mean by it. And Allah knows and has knowledge of everything that you've done. And so you ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive you for everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does so. From the ways that Allah Azza wa Jal has lifted that burden upon us, is that He has made other means of expiation for our sins, other means of seeking forgiveness. So for example, when you pray, when you give charity, when you help someone, when you are good towards someone, when you speak to them in a gentle way, every act of worship becomes an act of sadaqah. It's like an act of charity through which you are rewarded and your sins are expiated. And so now you are, if you like, indirectly making tawbah. You are asking Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive, and these are all the minor sins that we commit, and Allah forgives them. From one prayer to the next prayer, from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan, from one Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah, all of these prayers and all of these acts of worship that you perform, Allah Azza wa Jal uses them as a means of expiating your minor sins. And no doubt from the ways that Allah Azza wa Jal has lightened this burden is that He has made our religion easy. The Sharia is the Sharia of ease. It facilitates ease for you, especially when in times of difficulty. And so that's at the smaller level, the individual level. So for example, if I can't pray standing up, I can pray sitting down. If I can't make wudu with water, I can make tayammum. If I can't fast while I'm traveling, I can break my fast, and so on and so forth. And the Sharia generally, at even the higher level, it is there to make things easy for people. And so that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the Quran that no one is burdened with a burden that they cannot bear. No one has to overburden themselves when it comes to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. because Allah Azza wa Jal knows that we are weak. Allah created us and He knows our reality, He knows our nature. And Allah Azza wa Jal, as a result of that, has given to us one of these different forms of ease and facility and mercy. In verse 29, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا.
O you who believe, do not wrongfully consume each other's wealth, but trade by mutual consent. Do not kill each other or yourselves, for indeed Allah is merciful to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives this instruction after mentioning these verses about ease and how Allah Azza wa Jalla wishes to repent upon us. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Sharia Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed within it justice. You have rights and other people have rights. And from the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla dislikes is oppression. Allah made it haram upon Himself, He made it haram between His creation. So in any type of interaction with other people, any type of transaction with other people, any type of dealing that we have with others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has removed from it harm, removed from it anything that can lead to harm. Allah Azza wa Jalla has removed this from those types of interactions, because otherwise people would harm and oppress one another. It is human nature to want more and to best others and to better them, even if that means sometimes their own downfall. So we may have mercy to a certain extent with our own children and with the people that are closest to us, but when it comes to people who are further away, even if they may be relatives and friends, and especially those people that we don't have that type of link and relationship with, sometimes human nature means that you want to overcome them, overpower them, best them, show that you are better than them. And one of the ways that this is often shown, it is often highlighted, is through financial transactions, through buying and selling, through loaning, through the exchange of wealth. And that is because people there, number one, covet wealth. It is a fitna and a trial for many people. And number two, it is a sign of prestige. The more wealth that you have, the more influence, the more prestige that you're afforded, the more honor that you're given by people, the better that you are looked upon in society and so on. And so therefore there is all of these emotions and all of these parts of your ego that are struggling with each other or with parts of one another in order to have that wealth, to assume, consume that wealth and to take it at the expense of others. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, don't consume that wealth wrongfully, bil batil. So when you harm someone in that financial transaction, when you don't give them a full and clear picture of what it is that they're doing, when you have interest that is involved, when you are taking the wealth of people unjustly, all of these are examples of types of wealth that is not permissible. And this was something which was common in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Arabs used to have trades in which they would do this, and it is still common, unfortunately, even in our time, where people try to oppress one another in terms of wealth. And one of the greatest forms of that and the clearest examples of is of interest, where, for example, you will borrow someone £20, but you will ask them to repay you 25 or 30. And that is the type of interest that Allah Azza wa Jal has prohibited. إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَن تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ. Unless it is trade by mutual consent. And so from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden all types of transactions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say that you can't buy and sell, you can't exchange wealth, but it must be done in accordance to the rulings of the Sharia. And one of the greatest conditions, or one of the major conditions and main conditions of transactions, is this issue that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions here, and that is at-taradi. At-taradi means to be willingly and mutually consenting to the deal. So I have to consent and the other party has to consent, and we have to be willingly doing so, not manipulated, not coerced or forced. It can't be a mistake, we can't be duped or deceived or cheated into it. It is willing, mutual consent. So I am willing to consent to sell this product, and that person is willingly consenting to buy it, and so we agree. And so that is something which is important. It has to be something which people accept, and people clearly accept many different types and forms of trade. There are other rulings obviously concerning financial transactions, and it is a major chapter from the chapters of fiqh, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it here, because otherwise it becomes oppression. And if it is oppression, it leads to punishment possibly in this life and the next. As the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whosoever takes even a handspan of earth or land from another person unjustly, Allah Azza wa Jalla will punish them with the likes of that part of earth or that piece of land that they devoured unjustly. Allah will punish them with its likes for the seven earths on the Day of Judgment. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla will punish people for even the smallest amount of wealth that they took unjustly. Even the smallest amount that is haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you to account for that. And Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, and do not kill yourselves. Do not harm yourselves, do not harm one another. And sometimes that is because of wealth. Wealth is one of the main reasons why people then lead to physically harming each other, because of money issues and so on and so forth. And likewise in terms of killing and harming yourself either, that is something which also is prohibited. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا, for indeed Allah Azza wa Jalla is merciful to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 30, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ عُدْوَانًا وَظُلْمًا فَسَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِ نَارًا وَكَانَ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. If any of you does these things out of hostility and injustice, we shall make him suffer fire. Indeed, that is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning those people who oppress, those people who take the wealth of others unjustly, those people who do harm and evil, Allah Azza wa Jalla will hold them to account, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Those people should never think that they've escaped, should never think that they have gotten away with what they have done, but rather that which they do. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says that it is done out of transgression, out of oppression, meaning that it's not a genuine mistake, not out of ignorance. Those issues Allah Azza wa Jalla has forgiven. But someone who purposefully, willingly harms, oppresses, does evil, transgresses, Allah Azza wa Jalla will hold them to account. In verse number 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. But if you avoid the great sins you have been forbidden, we shall wipe you out your minor misdeeds and let you in through the entrance of honor. This is from the verses of the Quran that gives to us a great deal of hope. And that is that Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, so long as you, O believers, stay away from the major sins. And the major sins are those sins that Allah Azza wa Jalla has threatened people with punishment, specific punishment over it. So major sins are things that have a specific punishment attached to it in this world. So for example, murder, stealing, theft, zina, and so on. Or they have a major threat of punishment attached to it in the next life. Obviously shirk and kufr and bid'ah and those types of things. Or Allah Azza wa Jalla said that those people will have his curse or his anger or his wrath and so on. These are all major sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you stay away from them, we will forgive you for the minor misdeeds. Why? Because the minor misdeeds, as we said, are expiated through the much good that we do in terms of the acts of worship and the good character that we show and the good conduct and dealings that we have. And that is why the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith, that the five prayers, meaning from one prayer to the other prayer, and from one Friday to the next, meaning one Jum'ah prayer to the next, and one Ramadan to the next Ramadan, all of these expiate everything in between them, so long as you stay away from the major sins. And that is why you make general istighfar for all of the minor sins that you do. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. But when it comes to the major sins, you must make a specific act of tawbah. You must say, oh Allah, I seek your repentance for this major sin that I did, and specifically seek it for that. Because this hadith shows that the minor sins, they are wiped away with all of the other good that you do and the general istighfar that you make. But the major ones, Allah Azza wa Jalla was here and the Prophet ﷺ is saying, stay away from the major ones, so long as you stay away from them. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying this in verse number 31, so long as you stay away and avoid the great sins, the major sins. So therefore, when you do perform the major sins or one of them, then you must act and ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive you specifically for that sin. And so that is the difference between the two. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive those major sins as well if a person goes and sincerely performs that act of tawbah. But from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla is this forgiveness that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in this particular verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 32, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. Do not covet what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to some of you more than others. Men have the portion of that which they have earned, and women the portion that they have earned. You should rather ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for some of His bounty. He has full knowledge of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying between men and women, each one shouldn't covet the station that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the men certain responsibilities and certain positions, and because of those responsibilities and positions, certain things that they have been favored in. And the women have their positions and their honor also, and Allah Azza wa Jalla has favored them in another way. So for example, the man has his position as the leader of the house and the one who's meant to provide for his family, and so therefore he is the one responsible for the conduct of his household. And at the same time, the mother is afforded certain rights and privileges and honors that the man isn't afforded. The mother, as we know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has a status to the extent that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to that companion that you should accompany your mother in goodness three times more than you do your father. The father, the one that's providing, the father is the one that's the head of the household, if you like. He's the one responsible for the upkeep and well-being. But Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith favored the mother, because the mother, of the amount of from the moment of her becoming pregnant until that child becomes an adult, and then even after they are an adult, the mother has so much love and time and affection and kindness and support that she gives to her children that Islam acknowledges and honors her for this. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying each one of you shouldn't ask or demand what the other one asks. It is said that some of the female companions came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they wanted to participate in certain things that only the men are allowed to participate in, or that they are given certain preference in. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed this verse, because Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying at the end, rather each one of you has a portion. Men have the portion of what they earn, women of what they earned. Rather ask Allah for His bounty. So when it comes to issues of religion, men and women are equal in terms of their ability to attain reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that equal. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to women as much opportunity to attain reward and good deeds as He has to men. That is from the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it comes to the social structure, the family structure, then yes, men may be given an additional responsibility. But it is a responsibility. It is not a privilege that they are just given, or it's not, for example, if you like, something that they just have for no reason. They are meant to stand up to that responsibility and do certain things and fulfill that responsibility because of the added responsibility that Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed upon their shoulders. In the final verse on this page, verse number 33, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, وَلِكُلِّ جَعَلْنَا مَوَالِيَ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ والذين عقدت أيمانكم فآتوهم نصيبهم إن الله كان على كل شيء شهيدا. We have appointed heirs for everything that parents and close relatives leave behind, including those to whom you have pledged your hands in marriage. So give them their share. Indeed, Allah is a witness to everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to you heirs. These heirs from your close family, from your parents, from those people who are related to you, they are the people who come to your aid. And they are the ones that you, Al-Mawla is the one who comes to your aid and to your support in times of hardship, in times of need, in times when you need that support. They are from your relatives and your close ones. And they are also from amongst those people that you have made those agreements with, that they will mutually support one another. Sometimes that happens between certain families and tribes, as we know from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that if you have that type of responsibility to a loved one, a family member, someone that you're close to, then that is something which you should fulfill. So for example, a person has his brothers, person has his paternal uncles and his paternal uncle's sons and children. These are the people that are closest to you. And those people come to your aid and support when you need them. And also there are certain rules, rulings in the Sharia that apply to them that they must also fulfill sometimes on your behalf. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that those people should fulfill the responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon their shoulders. That is what Allah Azza wa Jalla has ordained. And indeed Allah Azza wa Jalla is a witness to everything. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.